I'm Joanna Martin, the founder of One of Many and creator of the One Woman Conference. Welcome to the One of Many Voices podcast, where we interview one of many very inspiring women who have something intriguing, interesting, and thought-provoking to share with us on our journey to soft power leadership. Today, we're speaking to colour psychologist Karen Haller. Karen Haller is an internationally renowned business colour and branding expert. She's helped clients from across the globe transform the branding image of their business. She's worked with a number of prestigious brands, including Dulux, Orange Mobile, Logitech, 3M Post-it, Pitney Bowes, Colour Match from Argos, I remember those knives with great fondness, and the Peggy Portion Cake Academy. Karen was involved in the brand colours of One of Many as well, and I count her a very close friend. I'm very grateful for the advice and guidance that she's given me in my own personal colours, which has resulted in quite the transformation in my feeling of well-being and authenticity in the world. So welcome, Karen, to One of Many Voices.
Hi, Jo. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks so much for joining us and talking about a very interesting topic today. I'm very much looking forward to this.
You're more than welcome.
So our listeners may be wondering what on earth a colour psychologist does. And I suppose if you'd asked someone that 50 years ago, there could well have been no such thing. Am I right, Karen? What is it? What do you do? And how long has it been around?
Yeah, so the interesting thing about colour psychology, I think it's probably just wasn't given that label, but colour and the psychology and how colour influences our mood, it influences our behaviour, how we feel, that's been around since the dawn of time. You know, when you think about we knew what colours, what food was ripe, we knew what was poisonous, we knew what was dangerous, we knew what was safe, all of these signalling that we got from colour. This really is innately what, you know, colour psychology is all about. And scientists, scholars, academics have been studying this for centuries. But you could say probably the last 30 or so years that colour psychology has very slowly been gaining recognition.
Aha. So you're right, it's obviously something that's instinctive to us, but I guess just doesn't really come into our consciousness very often. So how does colour affect our psyche and why is it important to us, you know, in the business environment? Let's start there.
Okay, so I'm going to do this very briefly, Jo, and I know you will understand this being a doctor, but when we take in colour, it goes through our eyes to the same part of the brain where our emotions reside. And when this happens, colour stops being a purely physical reaction and actually becomes an emotional one. And the interesting thing about colour is that what they're doing like all the time but on an unconscious level, it's sending us messages in a language that we do instinctively understand, and that is the language of emotions. So before our brain takes in anything else, it's taking in the colour. And when we're looking at a business card, a website, a product, clothing, you know, interiors, in fact, anything, as soon as we see colour, what we're actually having is an emotional reaction. Now, what I think is a really interesting thing is that about 85% of people will make their purchasing decisions on colour alone.
Wow.
Which is it's a really, really high stat. So, you know, and we've always heard that we buy, you know, based on emotion, an emotional want or a need. So if you're a business owner, you'll want to be attracting your ideal customers and clients through that initial, you know, emotional connection, which is colour. And you asked before what it is that I do. So I actually apply the science of applied colour psychology to create the right emotional response, the right feeling, the right behaviour that attracts the ideal client to then, because obviously what you want them to do, you want them to have the positive emotional experience and then you want them to buy from you.
Got it. So you kind of, I mean, I know with the work that you did with us certainly helped us to identify who are we trying to attract to our community, and then who are we from a kind of values perspective, what's the message we want to put out there, so that our colours were creating rapport with our target market before we even said anything to them, right? So it's this very instant impact rapport that you're talking about at that very instinctive and emotional level.
Yes, because what you want is that, you know, the age-old thing that you can't be everything to everyone, but if you project your brand, this is who we are and this is what we stand from a you know, what I call the authentic personality, then you will attract the right people to you. And that's what One of Many has done. You've just started to create a movement, and all the women that are coming are the ones that want to be a part of this movement.
Absolutely, and I'm so grateful for it. But colour's not just about business brand, is it? It's not just you don't just work with businesses either. People can brand themselves and use the right colours for themselves too, right?
Yes. Now there is a whole thing, you know, that is called personal brand. But really, it's your personality. That's, you know, we're all born with a personal brand. It's instinctively, it's who we are. And when we show up of it truly as ourselves, what we want to do is always be showing who we are on the inside. We want to be showing that on the outside. And the way we do that, again, is through the colors, the tones of colors, and down to the design style of what we're wearing. Because in any moment, we're always expressing how we want to feel, how we're feeling, or how we want to interact with others. These are the three things that will be going on. We just don't realize that's what we're doing when we're picking our clothes in the morning, because we're doing this on a very, you know, on a very unconscious level. But that's the process that's going on.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? You say they're those three things: how we want to feel, how we are feeling, and how we want to be interacting with others. But it's true. Very unconsciously, you'll choose different outfits for different days. And I mean, from time to time, I'll put something on and go, you know, actually, I don't feel like I'm in this mood or want to be in this mood, and go and get changed again. I can totally relate to that. And having been through a re-look at my own personal colours and finding something more authentic for myself with you, I just feel like a different person. I feel like I'm just so much more chilled out since having been through that process with you. And it turned out it was because I was just totally wearing the wrong colours for who I am at the core. So I'm most grateful for that.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And you can find that you can... because you become more conscious, then you begin to realize what you're doing, and you can really then take advantage of it. And then you understand. And, you know, if you've worn a color and just thought this doesn't feel right, at least you know how you can change that before just going, I don't understand why I don't feel very well, or I'm not feeling uplifted, or however I want to feel. You now know how to consciously do that.
That's exactly right. My wardrobe used to feel like it dominated me, but now I open my wardrobe doors and it feels like an old friend. It's very nice.
Oh, lovely.
So, Karen, I've got something interesting I want to ask you about with regards colour. I mean, I don't know when it happened or how. Maybe you can help me with this, but blues for boys and pinks for girls, right? I mean, this feels so ingrained in our psyche. I mean, there are other colours, of course, that women can use in their business brands that are soft and powerful without being girly or typically feminine, I'm sure. But tell me about this pink-blue thing, and how is pink synonymous with femininity? You know, is really blue synonymous with masculinity? What's the psychology behind this? Or is there one?
Yeah, this is really interesting because there's a couple of things actually going on here. The first thing is, this is a really good example of colour and culture, or what's called colour symbolism. And that's usually, and it's a society. It's a society that will give colour a meaning. This is usually now a conscious meaning. And it used to come from royalty, it used to come from religion or a tribal elder. But in this particular case, which I find really interesting, it's actually a marketing tool. It was a US department store in the 1940s, had a huge marketing campaign, and it stuck.
Really? Now,
yes. Isn't that fascinating? So we all run around thinking that we have to do this, and all it is basically marketing.
That is incredible. So some department store decided pink was for girls and blue was for boys, and now we decorate nurseries thinking that that's the norm.
Yeah, yeah, because because that has now become in our cultural psyche. And, you know, things have happened in the past. So like red in China is good luck, good fortune, prosperity. You might not know why it started because it was thousands of years ago, but people believe it because it's so ingrained in the society. This is something that we're actually seeing. We're witnessing this happening, which is quite interesting. Now, before this, it was actually pink for boys and blue for girls.
Really?
Yes. So when you think about pink, pink is actually light red.
Yes.
And red is the color of masculinity.
Wow. That just like boggles my brain.
Yeah, it is quite. Yeah, it does with me as well, because it's just like, isn't it astounding how somebody can make a decision and everyone believes that to be so?
Yeah.
So what when it comes to pink and people saying is pink synonymous with being feminine, what pink isn't about girls. Pink is actually an expression of nurturing, caring and soft love.
Right.
It's about compassion and empathy. Now, this is expressed by men and women. It is not predominantly a female thing. And something that I always say is that when a little boy gets cuddles, regardless of whether they get that from their mum or dad or whoever they get that from, if that was expressed in a colour, that would be pink.
Got it.
So little boys love pink. And I was actually just speaking to a lady who has her own design, fashion design, but for children. And she says the amount of boys whose favourite colour is pink and they've got nothing to wear.
I can totally relate to that. James, whenever we go shopping for things, you know, I'm not talking about big things and not necessarily even clothes, because I haven't really ever taken him clothes shopping at, you know, at his age. But we go and buy a drink bottle, or we need some new, you know, spoons or cups, or, you know, these plastic things that get lost and thrown out car windows and goodness knows what else. He always chooses the pink, always. Yep. And I remember having this conversation with my sister about Artie chose the pink thing. What do I do? You know, is he going to think it's girly? La, 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 la. But, you know, James has got a drawer full of pink stuff. He's really attracted to pink. I can totally relate to that.
And that's why, because he's either attracted to the color, because, you know, kids have this wonderful innate sense of color. And is it to do with the psychology of it? We can't ask him that. You know, but the thing that I find the saddest is when I hear an adult saying to a child, no, you don't like that color, or no, that doesn't go with that. No, the color you want is this one.
Yeah.
This is why I think as adults, a lot of people don't trust their own color confidence, and they will go to somebody else to tell them what colors they should have in their home, or, you know, what colors, you know, the latest trend color, because they've somehow as a child been told that their own color choices aren't right. The best thing, Joe, I'm going to say, is that, you know, he doesn't know. No child knows the meanings or the negativity that we might attach to a color. A child doesn't know that. They just love color.
So, having said that, as adults, like, how do most women feel about pink, and how do most men feel about pink?
So, from a lot of the research that I've done, and I wrote a blog about this. Is that in the UK especially, it seems that women have a very uneasy relationship with pink, which I think is really quite, I think it's quite sad. Quite often pink is seen, so when it comes to psychology, colours have positive traits and negative traits. Now, I've said the positive traits before about compassion and empathy and about nurturing love. Now, the negative side of pink is that it can be seen as weak and needy and disempowering. And for men, it can also be seen as being emasculating. Now, it depends on your view of pink and what you make it mean and the context as to whether you will have this view or not. A lot of women seem to think that if they wear pink, they're not going to be taken serious. So what I would do is invite women really to look at their own relationship they have with pink and actually realize that color is soft. To me, that color is soft power personified. I mean, what can be more beautiful than the gift of nurturing, caring, and love, compassion and empathy. If women really embraced, even if, you know, if they embrace those qualities, the change that would be made is incredible. And then it's also about looking at the right tone of pink. Your tone of pink, Jo, is that beautiful, soft, that nude pink. There are thousands of pinks. It's looking at which one is the right one for you, because if you do wear the wrong one or you are surrounded by the wrong one, you could feel the negatives of the color. So it's all about wearing the right one. And a lot of women are attracted to the magenta pink, which is that very,
hot pink, in your face pink.
But it's really a cold blue pink. So it's actually, and it's the pink that represents the more feisty feminist side. And I've seen a lot of women who have moved from red, because red is the color of masculinity, and they've moved into pink, but they've moved into this magenta pink. And so this, it's almost the what I would call the male version of pink. It's still that masculine. And I believe over time, as women become more in their soft power and more at ease with feeling very, very strong, strong but soft, do you know what I mean?
That
they will then perhaps their choice of pinks will change, and that they'll go more into the softer ones.
Yeah, I totally agree. If that kind of pink energy is the nurturing, empathy, you know, all of that, it's the mother archetype personified, isn't it? So as women become okay to be that again, I think we've kind of repressed our ability to be it a little bit, you know, since the 60s and 70s. We've kind of abreacted to it. So when we step back into it and kind of feel okay to be it, then we'll probably feel much happier about having the psychological reaction to that we get from pink around us. So that's really interesting, really, really interesting. Now, if a woman, you know, I suppose there's having color around us in our homes, there's if we're in business, you know, having our brand being adequately represented by color. What about what we wear? You know, if women feel unsure of You referred earlier about color confidence, Karen. If someone doesn't feel confident about color, and they might be like I was, so far from wearing what kind of felt right that they just didn't really even know where to start, is there some kind of color chart they can look to, or, you know, that learn how what colors they wear impact other people, or is it, should we be thinking of it more an overall energy we need to develop, or a skill we need to develop, getting good at choosing colors that suit us? What's your opinion on all of that?
Yeah, well, see, the reason why you're saying the word color chart, Jo, is because you're lucky, because you've got yours.
Because I've got mine sitting on my bedside table.
So let me think. I think for anyone that wants to put together their own color chart, because what they will want it to do is to express their personality, because that's what it is. It's expressing your personality in color. So the first thing I would say to start to do this themselves is to really tap into your authentic personality and find out who you are, not who anyone wants you to be or who you think you should be, or, you know, wanting to be, you know, at school, everyone wanted to be in the popular school group, didn't we? And we all wanted to be liked, so we could always morphing ourselves to be everything else other than who we are. But, you know, now we have permission to be exactly who we are. So I would say there's three magic questions to ask yourself. And it's it's looking at, you know, today, right now, what is important to me? Is it to support how I'm feeling, because I want to stay in that energy? Is it to support how I want to feel? So maybe I'm not feeling well and I want to maybe wear a color or some colors to lift my spirit. Or maybe it's to support how I'm interacting with others. So maybe, you know, someone, you're going to a talk to school children and you want to be able to engage and interact with them in a certain way because you want to make sure that they feel, you know, very comfortable with you, and it's a two-way conversation. So what you then do is that you then pick colors that will give you that feeling. Mm. Now, how do you know how to do that? I would just start really, really trusting your intuition, because that's really what we've got to work with. I mean, unless you work with someone who works in color, this is the way that you would do it yourself. And just even start going around the shops, looking in your own wardrobe, and just thinking, well, how is it that I want to feel today? And then looking at the colors that you have that will innately, you know, that you believe that will give you those feelings. Something as a tip is that you can hold each of these colors under your face without any makeup on, and look to see if there's a glow in your face or whether it drains the color. Because if there's a glow, that's the one you want to go with. You want to make sure that when you're wearing colors that you don't see, and you're walking down the street, you don't want to see the color first. The idea is that we're meant to see you. The color is meant to enhance and bring out your personality, and we're meant to see you. Quite often on, what are they called, the red carpets, the color is so bright that you see the dress and the color first, and then it's like this woman is behind it that you don't even see first. Stylists have a habit of dressing women in such bright colors for the dress to be seen, not the woman to be seen. What we want here is for you to be seen and your personality to come out and be seen. That's the key here, is that you're bringing your personality out, who you are, and you're matching that with the colors that you're wearing so that you're in complete alignment on the inside and the out.
I love it. That's awesome, Karen. Thanks for that tip. Trust our intuition, and and then also, yeah, really have a good look. See if it brings you out or if the color hides you. That's a really fantastic kind of first principles, and go work with you, right? Also, if you wanted some help with that, if you have no color confidence, I would highly recommend that. That's for sure. Now, Karen, in a few weeks, we're going to be hosting our Soft Power Summit. We're going to be speaking to a number of women in different leadership positions about soft power in the varying aspects of their life, from business to family. And one of the things that we're going to be covering are different, you know, different traits that we all have, and different topics like vulnerability, like perfectionism, like love, like having sustainable energy. Does color play into our ability to be more vulnerable? Like, for instance, if we wanted to be more vulnerable at home in our relationship, is there a color we should bring into the home? If we're wanting to have more energy for our work, is there a color we could bring into the work in that kind of way? Are there colors we can count on to help us to have more of these sorts of things?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a really huge question, and it is going to be personal for each of us. So always think about, is it a mental feeling? Is it a physical feeling or an emotional? And then break that down further, and then there'll be the color tones for that. So if you want to sustain energy in the work, say you work from home and you really want to help sustain your energy, if you need to mentally, keep the energy going, look around the blues, and there's millions of blues. Pick which is the right one that feels right for you. Again, trust your instinct. If it's because you need to keep your physical energy because you're really tired, look for the reds, look for oranges around that spectrum. If it's emotional and you feel that you might need a lift, then look around the yellows. Now, yellow is unbelievable powerful color, so you will only need a tiny little bit. In fact, you might only need a tiny bit of red, because that's quite a strong color as well. And sometimes all you need is maybe even a cushion, or you might just need an accessory, or even a bunch of flowers in any one of these colors, for, you know, as an example, might be all that you need. What tends to happen is people think they need a color, and they'll paint all the walls, they'll paint everything, and then they go into complete overwhelm.
Yeah.
It's about little, and that way you can take away or you can add.
Yeah, I've kind of been using a lot of candles lately in different colors, depending on what energy I need for the day. And that's perfect, because I can change it on a daily basis. I have my candle in the same spot, but the color of it changes depending on what the energy is I need for the day. So I'm having some fun with that sort of stuff like that.
And all I can say is just experiment, have fun, enjoy, and feel your way in it.
Fantastic. Some really sound advice there, Karen. Thank you so much. And ladies, this is so aligned with what we're talking about among the One of Many community. We're talking about getting back in your body, trusting your intuition and your instincts once more, and allowing to live with a little more color is one fantastic way to do that. If you are someone who, like me, didn't have a lot of color confidence and you're interested in having someone support you on that journey, I highly recommend checking Karen out. Her website is www.karenhaller.co.uk. That's KarenHaller.co.uk. Karen, thank you so much for joining us on the One of Many Voices podcast today. It's an absolute pleasure speaking with you, and thanks for your wisdom and insight. I've got some great ideas, and I'm looking forward to going and zhuzhing some things up around my place after having spoken to you.
Oh, yeah, you're more than welcome. More than welcome. I hope this has been helpful for everyone.
It's been brilliant. Thank you very much. You've been listening to the One of Many Voices podcast, where we speak with one of many women who are helping us with intriguing and insightful views on our soft power journey. We look forward to your company on the next podcast very soon.